29, if you will. Psalm 29. I'm just using one verse out of this particular psalm. Psalm 29. We're looking at verse 2, and it sets the foundation for the fact that separation is beautiful. Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Father, lead us, guide us, teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. The beauty of holiness is in regards to the how the Holy One should be worshipped. That is, indeed, Jehovah, the triune God. The basic meaning of holiness is being holy. Integrity of a moral character. Free from sin. Or another direction and aspect of holiness is to be set apart, to be separate, to be separated. And that comes from the term sanctified, which is also involved when one would study and look into the matter of holiness, the holiness of God as well as our holiness. For we read in Peter where we're instructed, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Holy One, Jehovah God, is set apart from all that is earthly and created. He created it from all that is sinful and defiled and impure. God is apart from that. His holiness and his separateness go hand in hand. You see, because he is holy, he is separated from all that is unholy. And because he is separated from that, it highlights, if I can call it that, his holiness. Separation finds its basis in the very nature and character of God. And it's a thing of beauty and wonder, this separation. Separation is not something in the Christian's part that we need to do. It is something that God has already done. Separation is not something that we need to pray about or strive after, but it's something that has already been accomplished in us by the grace of God. God has already positioned us, the believers, in his beloved Son. And therefore, as we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, that's our position, accepted in the beloved. We are, as Christians, separated unto God. We have been saved out of sin. And we don't live in a vacuum. We have been separated out of sin and put into God. And we have a position with him. And therein is when I say we're already separated. 1 Corinthians. We're in Ephesians. Now have you turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. See, now there's that word sanctified. That means set apart, separated unto God, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, he calls the Corinthians sanctified unto Christ Jesus. If you know anything of your New Testament, you know that the Corinthian church was the most problematic church of all of the churches Paul wrote to. It was the church, I cannot understand it, when you go down to the south and you can see Corinthian Baptist Church. Baptist Church of Corinth, you know, and it blows my mind. Okay, the Ephesian Baptist Church? The Philippian Baptist Church? No, the Corinthian. We had an evangelist one time, and that was his home church. Such and such a church of, whatever the town was, the Corinthian Baptist Church. But nevertheless, be that as it may, that church is in the Bible. So when we begin to look at churches and begin to want to disqualify them as being real or legitimate, we need to take note what the condition of the Corinthian Baptist Church was. Okay, now let's move on. You got a little extra there. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what church you go to, no matter what the name of it is, anybody that's born again, it included these people of Corinth. And man, that ought to be a hope to us, especially to the Christian that struggles with living for Christ. Okay? Because we're in good company with the Corinthian church. Chapter 6, same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. And such were some of you. And he talks about those fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate, all them people, okay? And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's it. We've been set apart to God, and we're sanctified. We stand perfect and complete in Christ, the Holy One, as saints of the Most High God. It is the beauty of our wonderful, glorious position in the Son of God and His love that we have been set apart to Him. So the next time you get to looking at yourself and feel rather unworthy, which I know we are, but nevertheless you feel rather down on yourself because of whatever it is that you may struggle with or where you're not that you'd like to be, and before you give up on yourself, you just remember,
amen,
the crowd you run with.
Amen.
Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, and some were.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. You were that way, but you ain't no more because you've been sanctified. You've been set aside by God Almighty. Now, what must we do to practice separation? Separation is not so much something we must gain, but it is very much something we must claim. We've already been sanctified. We've already been set aside. We don't have to gain it. We have it. Well, what must I do to practice it? I'm coming to that. Every believer is separated to God, but not every believer consistently exercises and enjoys a separated to God life. A life that God intended to us for our own good. Our practice should be consistent with our position. Our position is accepted in the beloved. Our position as a believer is set apart to God. Now, that should be our practice. Our daily condition. Our daily condition, that's what we watch on TV, that's the kind of music we listen to, that's the kind of jokes we listen to and tell, okay? Our daily condition should match our eternal position.
Good.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now that's not talking about plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and the like. Vocation there is used in the sense of the calling of service for God and what we give to God. And we are to walk worthy of that. And so by faith, we are to claim and experience what God has already done in a fact. We need to remember who we are. We are Christians. Now, one reason we miss the beauty of separation is because of our emphasis. So often when separation is emphasized, it's separation from something rather than to God. 9 times out of 10 in a Bible-based church in the United States of America, when you talk about separation, people are thinking about things that they don't do, shouldn't do, can't do, will get in trouble if they do. Okay? That's 9 times out of 10. That's what people, when you say separation, they're thinking, oh, well, I don't go to movies anymore. Well, of course, some Christians do, but I don't go to movies anymore. I don't go dancing. I definitely don't go drinking. I used to stop down at the Legion. I don't do that anymore. I became a Christian, you know. And I don't, you know, it's what we don't do. Don't do. But separation in the Bible starts with separation to God. And when a person is separated to God, it will take care of what they don't do. Because when our focus is on doing what God is pleased with, because we're separated to Him, we know God's not pleased with drinking. We know God's not pleased with, you know, I never went to dances as an adult, so I don't know what they're like as an adult, but I know what they were like as a teenager, okay? And it would have been hard to find God at one of them, okay? Whether it was run by the fire company or the high school or whatever organization, okay? Like I say, I didn't go. I got saved when I was 15. And got married when I was 17. You say, that's awful young. Yeah, I know. I'm not advising it. I'm just proclaiming it. Okay. So I don't know what it's like, but I can just imagine if what dancers were like as a teenager, I can just half imagine what they'd be like as an adult. And can you imagine somebody standing up in a dance and saying, oh, by the way, it's 9:30. This is when I usually have my devotions. Can we stop and pray? Can you imagine the reaction?
Yeah, come on.
You know, that is so ridiculous. Some of you can't even think of it as in a sense of a sick illustration. But that's the case, okay? Mm-hmm. We're separated to God. And when we think more, now listen, both are in the Bible. Separation from sin is in the Bible. Apostle Paul said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible teaches that. But it's separation to God that enables us to do that. It's in Leviticus that we read, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people. You say, well, that was Jews. So you don't think God wants Christians to be severed from sinful people? Of course he does. Separation from is valid. But too many times, that's all people know about separation. They do not understand that the power for separation from sin comes by our separation to God.
Well, amen.
Father in heaven, help us to comprehend and live that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go to prayer.